welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, September 11th, 2018, and this is the news. And before we kick off with the news, I do want to do some follow-up from some of the stuff that happened last week. So I know I put out an episode talking about the Alterna stuff last week, and those of you that follow me on Twitter will already know that Alterna had a video on YouTube where they had a kind of reaction to everything that's going on. If you don't want to hear me talk about that, you can skip. We'll just say 60 seconds. I'm going to keep it really short. So skip 60 seconds and then come back. All right, so Peter talked a lot about the whole Comicscape thing and their social media policy thing. I thought it was a great video. I didn't watch the whole thing. It's a three-hour video. I watched probably the first hour and a half or so of it. I'm assuming that's kind of where the bulk of things are. I did skip back and forth a little bit because some things I think were a little irrelevant. But I did decide after watching that video that I'm going to continue supporting Alterna. I do still feel like the policy is not quite correct based on everything that I've seen. I do feel like Peter made some statements in the video that I don't necessarily agree with. But at the same time, I thought to myself, I can't just not do this publisher and read their books, because their books are great. And I can't do that simply based on the fact that I don't agree with some of their policies. Because if that were the case, then think about it, I wouldn't be doing a lot of things. I wouldn't be reading Marvel books because of Perlmutter. I wouldn't be, I don't know. You can do it with food, right? Like, people don't buy certain brands of food. Like, my wife won't buy Tyson chicken because of the way that they treat their chickens, right? Same kind of thing. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to continue supporting Alterna. I support Peter. Even if I disagree with some of the stuff, it's pretty obvious to me that Peter is a super nice guy, and what he's trying to do is run a business and make it as successful as possible. So that's my two cents on that. I also have a couple of corrections from last week's episode. Mike chimed in when I talked about the Porky Pig and the Daffy Duck comics on last week's Top of the Pile. I said they were Hanna-Barbera books, and of course they're not. They're Looney Tunes books. I think we all often get them confused because DC's doing both of them, but thank you, Mike, for that correction. And I also want to thank Ed for a correction, because I was talking about Alan Tudyk joining the Doom Patrol TV show, and I mentioned Powers, and he's like, man, I love Powers. It ran for 2 seasons. It wasn't canceled. And you know what? You're right. Because I talked about the wrong show. I meant to talk about Powerless, not Powers. Powers is actually a pretty good show, and it's in the news today. Powers is a good show, and I meant to talk about Powerless, which did not do very well. I think it was on ABC, and it was canceled before the season was even up. So anyways, thank you to both of you for the corrections. Feel free to correct me. You can find me on Twitter at GeekVine. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com. Since I was talking about Powers, I'm sure some of you will be excited that there's a new volume of Powers coming out from Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming. And the interesting thing about this is that it's not going to be released as a single-issue comic. And there's no details on this yet. We don't know if it's a soft cover, hard cover, what the exact release date of it is. But at a recent panel, Brian Michael Bendis announced that that they do have enough material for a collection to come out. And so by the end of the year, you Powers fans will receive a new Powers graphic novel. I think that's pretty exciting. And I think it's curious that Bendis is doing this kind of thing with the formatting, right? Because right now he's got, how many books are on Jinx World? 4, right? We've got Scarlet, Cover, United States Murder, Inc., and, oh man, I forgot the other one. The one with the tattoo lady. So there's 4 right now, and I think there's more coming. I think there might be 2 more books coming out. So I'm not surprised. I don't even know how this guy is writing so many books. You know what I mean? I understand he's Bendis. He's like the Superman of comic book writers, but holy Jesus. Most guys have trouble writing like 2, even 3 books. Hell, some guys have trouble writing 1 book and keeping out on time. But that's incredible, the amount of output he puts out. So I'll be checking out Powers as well. Matter of fact, I recently got a trade of it because of all this Jinx World stuff coming out. I'm really curious to check out some of the old stuff. A lot of it which I haven't read, some which I haven't read in a very long time. So look for Powers probably by the end of the year. Really quickly, I wanted to talk about the Island of Misfit Supermen. And if you're not sure what that is, I'm not surprised, because I don't think a lot of people read Sideways. But I mentioned, it was probably a few weeks ago, Dan DiDio's writing Sideways right now, and he's trying some really interesting stuff with the book, trying to bring in kind of corrupted versions of Silver Age characters into the DC universe, and he's doing it through Sideways. And I find that fascinating. And they finally released some artwork for some of these corrupted Silver Age versions of Superman characters, and they look creepy as hell, and I love them. The art is being done by Kenneth Rocafort, who has a very distinct art style that I really, really enjoy. And I'll talk here about some of these characters that they've mentioned. It looks like we'll be seeing Superbrain Lois Lane, which she appeared in Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane number 27. And this might be one of the most horrifying out of all the designs. It's Lois Lane, except, you know, in the original, she was just a woman with a giant head. Kind of looked like the Coneheads. You remember that movie, the Coneheads, from whatever, the 80s, early 90s? Looks kind of like that. But in this reimagined version, it's Lois Lane's body, but her brain has grown pretty much into, like, its own creature. So the brain is, like, I don't know, it looks like 10 times the size of Lois Lane. And it's got these creepy, tall, slink legs coming out of it. It looks horrifying, so I can't wait to see this in the comic. Red Ant Superman from Action Comics 296 is also in here, and I could see the homage to the original. It just looks like a giant ant person, and I think it's pretty cool looking. Comet Centaur from Adventure Comics 293 pretty much looks like you would think, a centaur with I don't know, some S&M apparel on, apparently, but it looks pretty cool. Porcupine Jimmy Olsen from Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen 65. This one looks pretty creepy as well. In the original, it's just pretty much Jimmy Olsen with spikes. This one looks like a porcupine man, and it looks pretty sweet. The Negative Superman from World's First Finest Comics 126. This one looks, I think, the most similar to the original. It looks a little bit more ghost-like than the original. I think the original was pretty much just like a shadow version of Superman, just all dressed in black, and you couldn't see his face. This new one is all white, and looks almost like a ghoul from a Guillermo del Toro movie. I really dig it. And then finally, the werewolf Jimmy Olsen from Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen number 44, and this one looks like a werewolf with a skirt, and I love it. It's freaking awesome. So I'm looking forward to checking these out. It's going to be, these are premiering in DC Nation number 4. So if you're picking that book up, then you will see these designs. I do recommend DC Nation, by the way. I think it's a fantastic way for DC to, kind of go beyond just the comics, right? Give the readers a little bit of back matter without having to go to different websites and whatever. And there's interviews and stuff in there. I love it. I think DC Nation is a fantastic book, and I do still pick that up. Since I'm talking about DC Nation, I want to briefly talk about this whole thing, because this came up on Twitter, and I was listening to the Arkham Sessions podcast as well, and that came up because one of the hosts of that podcast is a psychologist. And if you read DC Nation, you'll see that DC hired a real-life, quote-unquote real-life, and then I'll quote again, psychoanalyst, to analyze some of their more popular characters like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, and Booster Gold, and give them kind of a psychotherapy assessment. And I thought that was particularly odd, because some of these characters, I think most of us can kind of assess what their mental situation is. For example, Batman, I think there's been, I mean, I don't know, I've got like 3 or 4 books on my bookshelf about the psychology of Batman, for example. And I don't think that's anything new, at least not for me as a Batman fan. Some of these other ones felt a little weird. For example, Superman having like attachment disorder because he's adopted. I thought that was a little silly considering he's been on Earth since he was a baby. And in fact, the John Byrne stuff pretty much threw away some of that Kryptonian stuff, right? Like, he identified as human. And I think, in many respects, he still does, you know? Having Wonder Woman have some kind of assessment was a little odd for me as well. Booster Gold, I mean, Harley Quinn should be pretty obvious as well. But I thought this whole thing was really odd that DC would do this. I'm not sure what the impetus for it is. My assumption is that they want to give a little more context now that Heroes in Crisis by Tom King is coming out, and that's going to deal heavily with the psycho, this the mental state of all these heroes in Sanctuary. So maybe that's kind of the intent for it. The issue that I have with this is multiple, actually. For one, this guy that was hired isn't a psychologist. He's a screenwriter and a self-help author. And I guess does psychoanalysis on the side. I don't know what that means. Like, he's read the DSM maybe. That felt a little odd to me. I also felt odd that they would have to do these psychoanalyses on all these characters. I'm not sure what that adds to anything, to be honest with you. I think, you know, oftentimes we talk about this. This has come up a lot recently, right? Leave the politics and all that stuff out of my comics and just let me have fun with them. And I agree with that to some extent. I disagree with that to some extent. But to me, this is a little beyond bringing in real life stuff into the comics. This is something that feels unnecessary to the comics. And I'm not sure what the point of DC doing this whole thing was. It seems like it's irked quite a few people, including some of these psychiatrists and psychoanalysts that are do that for a living. That's their profession. They're with the school for it and are also comic book fans. So they're very involved in all these stories. And I have to say that I agree. I think it's a very odd choice. You can check all this stuff out on DC Nation number 4 if you want. But I kind of wish DC would have left all this stuff out of it. To me, it serves no purpose. And most people reading these analyses won't know what any of this stuff means, right? Like putting in the access numbers that apparently are no longer being used by a psychiatrist just felt very odd. So if you have some thoughts on this, let me know, because it had me a little upset at first, and now I kind of don't care. But again, I'm not sure why DC would do this kind of thing. Over on the comics front, we've got some more information on Grant Morrison's Green Lantern number 1, and it looks like he's going to be definitely Grant Morrison in it up. And for me, that's very exciting. For some of you, when I said the name, you tuned out of this podcast immediately, and I understand that. Fair enough, but you're wrong. Grant Morrison's the best. And he's going to be doing some changes to the Green Lantern ring. And if you read Justice League number 7, you'll know that Jon Stewart has a new Green Lantern ring. It seems like this is going to be kind of similar to that, where the ring has more distinct abilities. And it seems like what he's trying to do is maybe go back a little bit to the Golden Age, Silver Age stuff, where Green Lantern had more abilities than just being able to will constructs with the power ring, right? So Alan Scott could like shrink stuff with it. He could become invisible. He can go through walls, things like that. And Grant Morrison's gonna use some of that stuff and make the ring different. It's not just going to be about willing constructs to existence, but also doing new and interesting things with it. And I think that's really fascinating. You know, we haven't had a real change in Green Lantern since, wow, Geoff Johns. So how long is that now? 13, 14 years, I would say. And that's a really long time for a lot of these characters. Think about it. Green Lantern was probably the only DC title that wasn't majorly impacted by any DC events over the last 15 years. And that's crazy. Crazy. I mean, all the characters are still there. The origin stories are still there. The whole light spectrum thing, none of that changed. And, you know, granted, there hasn't been very many people taking over the mantle, right? So we've had, let's see, Geoff Johns, Venditti. There may have been one other one in between. Like, that's a really long time, right? For the same creative team, same kind of direction. And I find it fascinating that they're gonna trust Grant Morrison with changing some of this stuff. And I think maybe it's kind of due, right? Some of you may disagree because maybe you guys like the way that things are now. And I gotta agree. I mean, Green Lantern is a great place. But I wonder if we can maybe do a little more. A little quote unquote better, right? We were talking about this recently with Superman, how it feels to me like the majority of comic book readers really loved where Superman and Action were, and were a little, I don't know, worried, I guess, when Bendis took over. I know I was a little worried. And even through that, as much as I enjoy those Rebirth books, I feel like the stuff that Bendis is doing is even better than that. And it's fascinating. So I do think that Grant Morrison can take the Green Lantern in a new and interesting direction, and I can't wait to read it. The book comes out November 7th. I can't wait. I can't wait. Since we're still talking about DC, We teased this a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago maybe? DC is thinking about adding new lines to the Walmart Comics offerings. And I don't know how many of you are picking those up. It seems like not as many as DC wished. But then again, the audience that DC wants for this is not us, it seems. Dan Didio even explicitly said the target audience for these books is 10 to 15-year-olds. And, you know, from what I'm seeing on social media at least, while that may be the target audience, the people buying these books are people already buying a ton of comic books. Well, it looks like we're getting some new books. So those of you that are picking these up will be very happy, I'm sure. The first one up I'm very excited about is the Swamp Thing Halloween Horror Special. It's a 100-page special shipping October 4th. And then there's going to be an 80-page DC Holiday Special shipping November 9th. So that's pretty exciting. I mean, the books are still going to be $4.99. These are not going to be ongoing books. They're kind of like one-shot specials. But there are some more books coming up. And, you know, there's going to be some thought about what they're going to do with the line in the coming months, right? So February is going to be 6 months of this initiative going on. And Didio said that at the six-month mark, they're going to kind of reassess what they want to do with the line. And it seems like there's already a new book that's going to be added on it. I know Flash is being mentioned. I think the Flash one makes the most sense because of the TV show. But then again, we know that there's not a lot of crossover between people that watch TV and read comics, right? Same thing with the movies. Even though, you know, Avengers might do, or Black Panther might do $1 billion at the box office, those people are not buying Avengers or Black Panther comic books. So I'm curious to see how that goes. And then there's another one that's not being named yet. I've been trying to think what that would be. And God, I hope it's not Cyborg. That's all I'm going to say. I don't think it can be. I don't think Cyborg's got enough material to warrant his own special. But, man, I don't know. It'd be really interesting to see if we're going to get something maybe out of the Bat family, including things like Red Hood and Nightwing and Batwoman would make a lot of sense, right, with the new TV show coming up as well. So we'll see. I'll be sure to keep an eye on all that stuff and report on it. The last thing we'll talk about is Rock Shop Music and Comics in Buford, Georgia, which is not too far from me, actually. And the reason I want to bring up this comic store is that the store is closing. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't care about comic shops closing. Didn't you and Dinesh just talk about this? It doesn't matter about comic shops closing because they open and close all the time. And you're right. But I find it interesting. This was a store in a mall. And of course, mall traffic's down because people just shop on Amazon now. But the guy's not actually entirely closing the shop. He's going to online only. And I think that's really interesting, and I wonder if that's not really the way forward for comics, right? So there's of course, DCBS right now, probably the biggest one of the mail-order comic shops. But you also have Cowabunga Comics, and I can't remember, I think they're in Milwaukee. They recently started doing online orders around the country, and it's really hard to find that information on their website. So I think maybe they're still kind of soft-launching the whole thing. But if you get in touch with them, they will actually send you the order form, and you can order from them. In fact, Jay and Dennis from the Best of the Rest podcast on the Nerd Legion Network, which we're a part of, they order their comics through Cowabunga, mail order. So it's a really interesting option. I wish they had a better system like DCBS does, but I find it interesting that another shop is moving to online only. And I wonder how much of their existing business with that already. My assumption is being in a mall, it was not a huge part, but it does seem like moving to online may be a good future for comic shops. And I know that that's going to kind of take away a lot of the personality of the shop, right? Like you go in there to talk to other fans or to talk to the employees. And that may be the case. I got to tell you, when I go to a comic shop, I don't generally talk to the people in the comic shop. Maybe because my reading habits are very different than a lot of people, that's possible. And because I'm so entrenched in all the news and everything that's going on by doing this podcast, for example, that I don't really need to ask questions about, you know, what do people think about this book or that book. But I find it really interesting that this shop is moving in that direction. And I wonder how much of that we'll see moving forward, right? I'm still convinced that 10 or 15 years down the line, comic shops will still be around. There will still be brick and mortar comic shops, but it's going to be more of a boutique thing, right? More of a boutique thing where they're going to have a very selected, handcrafted selection of comic books, not just every single comic book out there. And that'll hurt some publishers and it'll help some publishers. But overall, this thing is moving to online, right? It's just, it's so convenient to do online. I just gotta say. I mean, I'm not doing DCBS anymore, but when I did, it was just fantastic, right? I just get home and there's a box on my door and then I open it up and it's like Christmas every week. So, really interesting. I want to know what you guys think about comic shops moving from brick and mortar to online as well. You can find me on Twitter at Geekvine and, of course, nerdylegion@gmail.com. All right, before we wrap up, I want to briefly talk about Comixology sales because, of course, as you may remember, I find these the most interesting sales because these are actually sell-through numbers, not just, you know, number of copies ordered by comic shop. So I'll go over the top 10 real quick. Number one is The Walking Dead 183. Diamond ranking was number 17 for last month at 68,681 copies. Number two, Batman 54 at number 8 with 111,000 copies. Justice League number 7 at number 13 with 77,000. Avengers number 7 at 24 with 55,000. Captain America 3 at number 3 with 167,000. Man, Captain America is freaking rocking. Holy moly. Star Wars number 53, number 32 at 49,000. Immortal Hulk, by the way, the best Marvel book. So go break it down. 36 at 44,000. Paper Girls 24 at 98 with 21,000. The Dreaming, there's no ranking because it's a, you know, first issue. And then number 10, wrapping it up, Astonishing X-Men number 15 at 33 with 48,000. And I find this one really interesting. The top five is very curious to me because this is the most similar that we've had a ranking in the top between print and digital since I've been doing this this Comixology top 20 or top 10 recap. And you know, Walking Dead, I think this might be the first time that it's been really high up there on the Comixology rankings. So maybe there's something going on at Walking Dead I should be checking out. But some of the other ones are pretty standard, right? Batman, Justice League, Avengers, Captain America, Star Wars. Those are always in the top on the Diamond rankings. So really curious. Of course, Comixology puts out their top 20 every week, so you can check these numbers out yourself. I think this is a good way to get a feel for what people are actually reading, so I definitely recommend you do that. That's going to wrap up this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for listening once again. Don't forget to leave the iTunes reviews or review wherever you listen to this podcast. I very much appreciate it. Welcome aboard to all the new listeners. Of course, a little note of order. Be sure to stay tuned for this podcast and on the Nerd Legion Network for the new Batpod podcast, a new Batman podcast being hosted by Bill Beer, who was my guest. How long ago was that? I don't know, a month, month and a half, 2 months ago. He's going to be doing a new Batman podcast. I'll be showing up in there every once in a while to talk about Golden Age Batman and some other stuff. But it's Bill's podcast, and Bill's awesome. And he loves Batman maybe more than I do. I don't know. That could be debated, but it's very possible. So check that out. The first episode will be out on Batman Day, which, if I'm not mistaken, is this Saturday. So head on over to your comic shop because most shops are doing some pretty good sales on these. You know, like 10-20% off all Batman merchandise, for example. So go support your comic shop. I will be at my comic shop on Saturday. I don't know what Batman stuff I don't own, but I guess I'll find out when I get to the shop. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode, and I'll catch you then.